to me. And I immediately try to take the blessing found in it, while probably conveniently ignoring the challenge, and go on my merry way. So we're going to read this passage from 1 Thessalonians 5, from the Contemporary English Version. My friends, we beg you to warn anyone who isn't living right. Encourage anyone who feels left out. Help all who are weak and be patient with everyone. Don't be hateful to people just because they are hateful to you. Rather, be good to each other and to everyone else. Always be joyful and never stop praying. Whatever happens, keep thanking God because of Jesus Christ. This is what God wants you to do. Don't turn away God's Spirit or ignore prophecies. Put everything to the test. Accept what is good and don't have anything to do with evil. I pray that the God who gives peace will make you completely holy. And may your spirit, soul, and body be kept healthy and faultless until our Lord Jesus Christ returns. The one who chose you can be trusted, and he will do this. I've heard it said that the conclusion of something is the thing that people are likely to remember, and so when I finished the reading with those last two verses of 23 and 24, it makes sense that I naturally focus on the words about me being made holy, and that I have been chosen by Jesus himself. And when we read the passage from a perspective of individualism, it's easy to get stuck there and forget that we are reading a letter to a faith community. We are reading a letter from a church planter to the community that they planted. They, communally, were the target audience. Not us initially, and certainly not me. As Raywin said, we're in week two of our three-week journey through prayer and self-denial for 2020, the annual appeal of NZBMS. Last week, we looked at the fact that we are woven together into one beautiful tapestry being woven by the Creator of all, and who only God knows what the outcome of that weaving will be. We considered the idea that one side of the tapestry is really beautiful, while the other side, the underside, is kind of frayed and full of knots and all the loose threads. The underside is messy. And that analogy points us to the fact of sin in the world. It points us to the brokenness of the world, and that is the focus of this middle week of prayer and self-denial. Mending the mess is the theme for this week. And the first way towards mending something is acknowledging there's a problem. And what's that problem? The word that we would be most familiar with, of course, is sin. Sin is the problem. But that is a word that means almost everything and nothing, because so many people have so many different ideas about what it is. And so the most helpful way for me to get my head around what sin is starts and ends with relationship. As we considered briefly a couple of weeks ago on Trinity Sunday, the Trinity, Creator, Son, and Spirit, in whom the relationship between the three persons is so complete and so intimate that even though the distinction of the persons is there, oneness is the only conclusion we can come to. And it's out of that relationship that God created everything, capping it off with humanity. So if it is out of perfect relationship that we are formed, I wonder what that says and what does that look like for us. And so to keep it simple, I've got an image. I can't remember if I've used this image before with you. Does that look familiar? No? Okay, cool. We're created to be in relationship with God, with ourselves, with each other, and with the rest of creation. At the beginning of time, this was our purpose, to be in those relationships perfectly, loving God and loving neighbor as ourselves. But then, one could argue, individualism hits, selfishness arrives, desire for more than we have becomes stronger than the desire for those relationships. In short, sin happens. And with sin, those relationships that we are created to enjoy and flourish in are broken. And Fred, I think if you just kind of flick through the next few, there's a very difficult to see break in each of those four relationships. Relationship with God is broken. Relationship with self, broken. Relationship with others, broken. Relationship with creation, broken. Systems are formed where a few humans rule over and oppress the many. Systems are formed which state that one's gender determines their roles and capability and value. Systems are formed which state that races have different value according to the color of their skin. Systems are formed which enable and encourage the plundering of creation. The mess is there. It needs mending. The NZBMS partners are seeing much more explicit brokenness in their day-to-day lives and their places of service. They're working with women who are trafficked for sex. They're working with people who are addicted to substances. They are working with people who are trapped in fear by religious systems. They are witnessing firsthand the mess of sin. And yet, they are seeking to partner with the work of Christ's Spirit in those places. They didn't bring Jesus to those places when they arrived. Jesus was and is at work in those places, just as Jesus was and is at work and our places here. Some of their task as missionaries is to call out the systems and the people that are not enabling human flourishing. Some of their task, though, is to be present in the mess and in the pain of the individual image of God holders. And that is our task too, wherever we are. I started by critiquing an individualistic way of reading the Bible. And that critique risks missing the truth that the Bible is a way that God can and does speak to us as individuals. We weren't the target audience, but we are united with them through the Spirit of Christ. And God speaks to us as well. So if we were to return to the passage and ask what God might be saying to us through it, as God spoke to the original hearers, what might God be saying? I wonder if God would be saying that we are to call out those systems and people who are not seeking human flourishing, or the passage puts it, the people who aren't living right. We are to include anyone who is being left out and help anyone who needs it, being patient with everyone, as the passage says. We are not to return hate for hate. We are to keep praying and keep focused on Jesus. We are to discern wisely what the Spirit of Christ is saying to us. In short, again, we are to be a part of God's reconciliation process, mending the mess, partnering with God in repairing those broken relationships that we have been created for. We can trust in our God to do this because Christ is at work in us, through us, and beyond us. And Christ's Spirit is forming us as a community more and more into the likeness of Jesus. And prayer and self-denial that we do every year is a part of that process. As our NZBMS partners continue to work in harder places, partnering with God's reconciling work, let's continue to work out how we can do the same as we take these weeks to deny ourselves something and focusing on upholding them in prayer. Our prayer and our action are being woven together as a part of this global body of Christ. And eventually the mess will be mended and the perfect picture will be visible. Let's pray. This is a prayer written by one of the staff, the NZBMS staff. Lord, in your hands we are like thread. Each day may we allow ourselves to be woven by you, in and out, through and through, as we seek to become more like you. God of surprises, may your image be evident in the tapestry of each of our lives, an image enhanced by the strands from lives that have been intertwined with ours. Let there be no broken or knotted threads, as you, O weaver God, put all things right. Only when our work is done will we see the other side of the picture that is our life as a community. Weaver God, we place our lives in your hands. Weave on, in, and out, over and through, until we become like Christ. Amen. We're shortly going to commence our reflection time and our response to what God has been saying to us this morning. I'm going to start by reading a prayer of confession. Feel free to say the words with me if you feel comfortable. I'll then extend the invitation to Christ's table. And after that, when you are ready, and as you are ready, please feel free to engage with the different reflective options. We'll start with the prayer and self-denial video for the week. Then there'll be, at any time, the candles are here. The prayer pegs are there. One of the things that I've added this week is something that is a little more child-friendly. You'll see there's just some prayer prompts that any of us can write, perhaps something that we are feeling. The Bibles are there if you want to sit with Scripture. There's the Unite Youth reflections around the walls. And, of course, there'll be the slide with some pictures and some things to prompt you. So feel free to engage as you want to. Feel free to just sit there and do nothing as well. You're welcome. So as we come to a time of communion, first a prayer of confession, which hopefully you will. Let's pray. Merciful God, we confess to you now that we have sinned. We confess the sins that no one knows, and the sins that everyone knows, the sins that are a burden to us, and the sins that do not bother us because we have got used to them. We confess our sins as a church. We have not loved one another as Christ loved us, and we have not given ourselves in love and service for the world as Christ gave himself for us. Father, forgive us. Send your Holy Spirit to live as by your mercy you have called us to live, through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
Life here often feels incredibly messy, and for a number of different reasons, systems that should care for people and protect people often feel like they fail the very people they should care and protect.